The Process, a podcast about creativity and experimental music. In the world of experimental music, outcomes and accolades for creators can be uncertain and at times seem far and few between. Therefore, creators and practitioners of experimental music must embrace the one thing they will always have complete control over, the process. This podcast aims to understand this creative process by listening to new works and discussing them with their creators. Each episode focuses on one creator and their music. Understanding how and why they create can inform aspiring creatives and help audiences better understand and navigate experimental music. I'm Dr. Doug Bielmeyer, and I'll be your host as we explore the world of experimental music, creativity, and the human need to find purpose in their world and lives. This is The Process. Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Doug Bielmeyer, and we're here to talk about Earth's Precision, a new album on the Infrequent Seams label by Aaron Rodgers and Alec Goldfarb. They are a saxophone and guitar duo, respectively. I had two big takeaways from this album. The first was what a joy it is to listen to two musicians who not only are really great at their instrument, they're also composers too, and they also create music. But not only are they great at their, you know, great at their craft of creating and also playing their instrument, but just the level of listening that you'll hear on the album. You'll hear some of the tracks today. We'll listen to From a Cobwebbed Heap, as well as a bit of Nothing But a Voice That Laughed, comma blankly. And within these two tracks that we'll hear today, and of course you can go check out the whole album on, you know, iTunes or Bandcamp or wherever you choose to listen, and you'll hear this wonderful ability to listen and to interact. And, you know, that's one of the real joys, I think, of jazz music and a lot of this improvised music that we have is, you know, when a lot of listening is happening. I think sometimes, especially with jazz or just any improvised genre, it can turn into just kind of a, you know, soloing or noodling soup. And I think, you know, Aaron and Alec are in a different category. They're in that other category of listening and really deep listening and kind of reacting and then, you know, making decisions based on, you know, what they're hearing and what their instrument can do and what the other instrument is doing. I think another takeaway just relates to sort of the history of improvised music. And Alec and Aaron speak a little bit on, you know, sort of the history of not only black music in America, but how that is and is related to improvised music history in America. So, you know, I'll let them do the talking because, you know, they're the expert improvisers, and, you know, they are practitioners in the field, in New York, improvising part of many different scenes from avant-garde to jazz to, you know, contemporary classical to everywhere in between. I'll let them speak on it. So let's go in and take a listen to the first track, From a Cobwebbed Heap, and this is from Aaron Rodgers and Alec Goldfarb's Earth's Precision album on the Infrequent Seams label.
Thank you. So we met playing this fun kind of like open score improvisy gig with like a larger ensemble through our friends Carrie Fry and Robert Flights. And I just remember like thinking like, man, Aaron is killing. And I was like, I gotta play with Aaron. So I think the first time we played, like Aaron came over to my place in Ridgewood and we played and I was really excited about it. And then the pandemic happened, but I think we kept making it happen sometimes. We would record stuff sometimes. And you know, it's kind of funny. We have quite a lot in the backlog, like videos, audio, and this record just kind of happened when our friend Jonah Rosenberg, who also mixed this record, he is trying to get his studio off the ground. Blooming Lightways, a little plug for
There you
him.
go.
And he, you know, comped us some studio time so he could get some people in there. And yeah, we recorded this without much expectation, but it was a really inspired session for us. And we just kind of ran with that.
So, Aaron, if this duo or collaboration started before the pandemic, what were some of the things Alec mentioned it stayed alive during the, pandemic. So what were some of the strategies you all used? Were you Skyping or Zooming and improvising together, or was it sort of like you were mailing him audio files and he was emailing you audio files? What was the strategy?
Yeah, I think we have a couple videos of Zoom session recordings, and I don't remember if we were using Sonobus or some sort of audio software to sort of add to Zoom to make the audio better. I think we were just doing straight up recording from our own houses, but playing together with as little lag as possible. I have a couple videos of that. That's why I'm thinking of it. But mostly during that portion of time, we were playing just because we just wanted to play. So it wasn't necessarily for any project or anything like that. A lot of the Zoom sessions during that time that I did with Alec and others were just to sort of keep my sanity. And, you know, so we weren't super concerned with, you know, bandwidth and audio resolution, all those things. It was more just like, let's just get together and make some noise. I know Alec, I don't think we played as a duo on the Open Improvisations Facebook jam session. It was like a regular sort of Sunday night thing during the pandemic, but I remember doing that a little bit when I was in Canada, and I know we connected a few times virtually just to check in, talk about what we were making. And then we did one project together where we both, you know, sort of took safety precautions, made sure we were healthy, and then got together. And it, like all the sessions during that time, felt somewhat scandalous and risky, but we were able to get together. I know we did another session at Skoll's during that time. But it, you know, for all of the difficult things that were taking place during that time with lockdown and sort of larger society, it was a really good opportunity to get together with friends and develop sound. And I think during those years, we really kind of honed in on something kind of magical. And so, you know, coming on to this session, which took place, I mean, late 2021, so we're still kind of in that period where I think it was the third variant was back. You know, it's still the recording did happen in a dicey environment. So we followed up with a couple of live shows together, and just, you know, in different bills, different lineups, different venues, which, you know, helped us kind of understand our sound in many different environments too.
So, speaking about the different sounds and specifically, what we hear on the album, my initial question is, and Alec, maybe you can answer this, what were the tools that you were using? I think the takeaway that I have is that there's guitar involved and there's saxophone involved. And other than that, I'm hearing a lot of other different sounds. I'm hearing a lot of other interesting textures. So was it purely just guitar and saxophone, or were there other things, instruments involved?
Yeah, it is really just guitar and saxophone. I think I can speak for Aaron when I say like the interest for us with this duo is that it's exploring that. And speaking only for myself, I every once in a while I'll use an effect, I have a couple little preparations I use on the record. I use the back of a pencil. I use a slide. But outside of that, I'm always in kind of different tunings. I'm really interested in tuning. And I think that shows up on the record sometimes. But we just spent a lot of time, I think, honing in on like basic, like, you know, if I hear Aaron doing like the key click thing, like what's my way of doing that on my instrument.
So Aaron, when you both were in the session, how much, I don't know if rehearsal is the right word, but how much sort of preparation ahead of time? Was it just playing together a bunch? Or was there like a written score, or was it like there's a cheat sheet, like a lead sheet? How much like preparation prior and then during the session? I mean, are we hearing on this album?
Yeah, there was almost none. And we were playing together with sometimes more often and then with breaks over the course of a few years, and went in not really knowing what to expect. You know, we had done some recordings with each other, so we were comfortable, you know, putting a mic in the room and capturing it, but we didn't have plans that this would be an album of some sort. But I brought three different horns, soprano, alto, tenor, and we were, you know, this was the first time we'd been to Jonah's new space, at least I had, and, you know, set up an amp, set up some mics, and just went to town. And so part of that is like, this is really a first album, really a first kind of colliding of a lot of things. And, you know, some of the things we cut, but we did very little editing. The tracks there that we took were mostly what we did. And we found sort of this magical order of things. There's points in which, you know, Alec is sort of soloing to start, and I find my way into his sound. There's points in which we're coming from sort of a more sonic, explorative, you know, percussive texture together and finding those sounds together. Then there's, you know, I'm switching instruments. It was really refreshing to play alto with guitar. It's a, you know, a timbre that I hadn't explored with any other project of mine, and it just seems to fit really well with Alec's sound and a lot of the energy that we play together with in the duo. And so there were some things we brought in to try, and because of what came out of it, we thought this is great material for sort of a debut album of this duo.
What are some of the technical things that we're hearing? Guitar and amp plus some other tools.
I'm careful not to overstate them because they're only there for short periods of time. Sure. And I think my core philosophy really, they're not in there so much. Yeah. I'm not a preparation guy.
Sure.
For like a number of different reasons. I think they're really cool, which is why I use a couple, but I only use them with Aaron. I do not use them in any other context. And I think purely because I was kind of at the time, at the start of the pandemic, I was really starting to like craft this like solo, like more noisy, like Brooklyn free improv thing for myself.
Sure.
And there were just certain textures that I was hearing that I think were only possible with a slide or with a pencil. But I was like, hard no, like nothing else. I cannot add anything else.
Well, Aaron, what about, so you mentioned there's like three saxophones involved in this. So are you hot swapping these, or did you at different moments or different tracks focus on just one? What were some of your choices with that, with the different, having the different saxophones?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just had three with me, and I think I was coming to the session from something else that I needed three.
I think it's important to note you said, I just had three with me, right? Yeah. So meaning usually you'd have more? Or...
No. Well, I happened to have three with me coming from another rehearsal, and it was one of these where you don't leave an instrument in your car.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
So I brought all three in, and I remember... I had done some work with Alec with the alto, and it's not an instrument that I primarily use for like improv projects. So it was there, and the every time I played alto with Alec in particular on guitar, it seemed to have a nice interesting place. And I don't always find I need alto just because soprano covers a certain range, and so does tenor, and there's been even a crossover with those two. So having alto. Yeah, it was sort of an afterthought, but because we'd done some work, I thought to play it on the first track, and it's actually the first saxophone. It's in the Copped Up Teep, and it's also played again later where I do hot swap it out for a tenor halfway through the track, and I had to remember that way late after the fact. So I thought, no, that's tenor. Well, it definitely feels like alto at the beginning, but then I go to a note and I had to, double check. Yeah. I did swap to tenor because I did want that real low, like concert A flat, at one point, but technically, so I want to make mention of this because Alec is, he doesn't bring in a ton of pedals. He just gets all of these sounds just from his own, ability to find them on the guitar. And that is so unique to I've played with a number of guitarists, and then this stands out to me as like a really interesting sound world. And I kind of do the same thing with sax. The one thing I'll do is maybe take the mouthpiece off here and there for certain, percussive effects. And also because of the timeliness of this project coming out of the pandemic, I happen to be working a lot with small sounds on the sax. So I've been doing a lot of work in my apartment where I couldn't make a lot of noise during the lockdown, and hot miking, like putting the mic into the bell, keeping the mic like very, very close to the instrument, gain, high gain, and finding sound worlds in the instrument that, I wasn't, blowing full volume. I wasn't playing in a sort of more traditional way they had done so up to that point. And and when Alec and I got together to play, I feel like this this album and our practice in general has uncovered like just this amazing area of small sound blending points that we can really explore on a level that I don't do in my other projects, right? Like this album is special because it's soft saxophone playing and really, really like resourceful and interesting guitar playing that I've never heard before. And so that like technically it offers different sound worlds, but also like it sort of explores this sort of like underworld, underbelly, right? There's like this whole other world of sound making and blend, and being able to play really, really softly without being drowned out by a combo or drowned out by another instrument, but to be, sort of boosted or even have to come down even further to hear the detail of the guitar in some places allows for so much more, like fertile exploration. So on a technical level, that's also, I think, what was happening.
Thank you.
One of the really like fun parts for me, I believe it's in the track Nothing But a Voice That Laughed, comma, blankly. And in that track, there's this really interesting part where we start to get, Alec, you're playing sort of a bent notes. It sounds like you're using a slide. And we basically get kind of like a blues scale. There's like a little like bending kind of blues thing happening. What was that part about?
I had just been doing, I guess it had started earlier that year. So I was probably like 6 or 7 months deep, but it went on for 2.5 years, this period of really intense research.
Yeah.
The genesis of the blues and reading so much. I made a whole project based on it. There's a record that'll come out next year. That really focuses on tuning and timbre and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So that was really fresh in my mind and I was applying that to the instrument. But I think on a deeper level, like, you know, we're playing improvised music, live in New York City. It's, you know, like such a jazz city. And you know, like at the heart of any improvised music that exists in America is the blues. So it feels really important for me, like as a jazz musician primarily, to make sure that's there. And if I'm hearing it, like put it in there and not shy away from the root of the thing.
You know, and one of the things that I also found really exciting about that moment too was then, you know, the listening, going back to like how closely you both were listening to each other. You know, in the slide sound, there's that kind of, you know, glissando, that kind of, you know, the slurring of the notes. And sure enough, then the saxophone was doing what was the saxophone was sliding. There was this mimicking that was going on. You know, of course, the saxophone can glissando, but this felt like really intentional to kind of be like, I'm bending a string. I don't know. Or maybe it was just intuitive in the moment. I don't know.
Yeah, no, like compositionally, in my other writing, I just find like glissandi, there's so much richness in there. And that, and even if you keep one point sort of static and stable and bend through that, I mean, this the difference, you know, the way you smoothly move through, like, you know, say, like an overtone series while holding another static pitch or two glissandi at once, it almost doesn't matter what the colors are. You're going to get some really interesting things. I find it more interesting to go same direction than cross, but I don't know. And that in that moment, I mean, Alec is guiding it. Alec is Alec's understanding of pitch and his own just relationship to his instrument is something I'm continually trying to, I have a relationship with my instruments too, but I feel like I am, I'm still working to get more into, that sort of, like historical understanding of jazz from a saxophonist standpoint, because I didn't grow up playing that jazz and I'm moving into, free improv continuously. I've been doing it for a long time, but haven't come at it from sort of a jazz direction or a jazz base. Right. So, I'm following in a lot of ways and learning a lot and trying to also, find a place for my own voice in this, in the history of improvised music. And it was really interesting. Actually, Alec brought to my attention, there's a list, it's like, I think it's Discogs or a free jazz blog site that lists all of the sort of like monumental sax guitar free jazz albums from history. And just even realizing this was part of this lineage that had been going on long before us is, you know, it's intimidating, but it's also exciting to be part of or to think that we are adding to it in some way.
Well, Aaron and Alec, this has been fantastic. Thanks for sharing your music with us and your opinions and just kind of the rich idea and the rich history of improvisation and listening. I think everyone will really enjoy this episode and also like just kind of checking out some of the music from the album. So speaking of which, where can we go to listen to the album, find out more about it, and even you mentioned some videos that we can go to see you performing some of this stuff?
Yeah, you can go to Bandcamp, search Infrequent Seams, find their label page. We are the latest album on that page. That's probably the easiest way to direct folks, just the audio. You can also, you know, Google Aaron Rodgers, Alec Goldfarb. My YouTube channel, Aaron Rodgers, has our recent videos from May that you can check out.
Thanks to Aaron and Alec for sharing their time and music with us. If you enjoyed this episode, please check out other episodes in the series. And as always, like, subscribe, or leave a comment on your preferred podcasting app. I'm Dr. Doug Bielmeyer, and this has been The Process.